Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Sonia E. Henderson's path to becoming an independent international recording, performing, and songwriting artist is a long and very unique one. The Winston-Salem native first exploded on the scene in her early teens as a dominant force on the North Forsyth High School women's basketball team. She later went on to become one of the first African-American women to be offered a full basketball scholarship at Wake Forest University, where she received her BA in Mass Communications and Theater Arts. The rest of Sonia's story is a pretty wild ride, so we'll let her tell it. She dropped by her old alma mater to share it with us. You were, among many other things, one of the very first African-American women at Wake to get a full basketball scholarship. How has the landscape changed here? I mean, you've been in this area for a while, I mean, coming and going, but what do you see?
Yes, well, I see that there's a lot of rebuilding, you know, on the campus, so a lot of different buildings. As far as the atmosphere, the environment, when I am on campus, everything is still, to me, the same, which I really enjoyed, you know, have the opportunity to, you know, go to school here at Wake Forest University. Right. But the campus, it's about the same. You know, I mean, I like the, like I said, the different buildings and rebuilding of the campus and everything.
So, yeah, lots of construction. Yeah.
And the basketball team, women's basketball team, is doing great. And the men. But I know the women are, you know, got a great team.
That's
and
right.
I got a chance to meet the coach, also Jen Hoover.
Nice.
The women's basketball coach. And she's doing a fabulous job, I think, with the team. The women's basketball, great team as well.
Obviously, you had a nice launch pad from here into the pros. I mean, from your time playing on the team. When you're here in school, could you, for listeners, give them an inkling as to what it's like to be a student athlete at that elite level and making the grade and making, you know, combining those two lives?
Well, it was kind of difficult because as far as nothing against the men athletes, nothing against you guys, I love you guys, but when you are a female athlete, to me, it's like you still have, not wanting any extra part, but you still have the obligation. It's like more as a regular student, you know, it's just there's certain demands that you still have to keep up.
You're not cut as much slack, you think, as some of the
male
players?
That's what I'm saying. There you go, David. That's what I'm trying to say. But and that's okay. But I mean, and I know why, because it's again, you know, the men, they bring in more money, you know, to the schools. A lot the women program might not bring as much, you know, finance to the school as well.
From Wake, I mean, and where you got your BA in Mass Communications and Theater Arts, let's just jump into the professional leagues.
My first opportunity to play professional basketball was through my basketball coach here at Wake Forest by the name of Wanda Bradley. She actually got an agent for me. So I actually ended up playing in Aix-en-Provence, the south of France, first. So I played there for 1 year. I had a 1-year contract. And then after my contract was over in the south of France, then I returned back to the States because I found out they were going to try to start to have a professional women's team here in the United States. So I ended up going to Charlotte and trying out for the team there, and I made the team by God's grace and mercy, which is called the Carolina Blaze. And it was the NWBA at that time, National Women's Basketball Association. And then after the league folded because of lack of funding, then that's when I went back to Europe. I got a contract to go back to Brussels, Belgium. Mm-hmm. And I got assistance from that by Gil McGregor, who was actually the academic advisor here at Wake Forest. And he had a friend that was a coach in Brussels, Belgium. He was looking for two foreigners. So his friend, John Heath, flies to the States, and he watches me play in the gym over here at Wake Forest. And he says, okay, you're good enough to come back to Europe with me and play on my Division I basketball team in Belgium. So that's how I ended up going back to Europe to play. And then, you know, a couple other things. You know, I had great opportunities in Europe as well.
Those are two fantastic spots in Europe. I was thinking, if I was going to spend some time in Europe, Provence sounds pretty good, and Brussels sounds okay. What were those experiences? Anything stand out in your memory from your time in Provence, I guess, right out of college?
I enjoyed the team. It was my first time, actually. I was a little afraid. It was my first time actually being so far away, you know, from home, because as I live here in Winston, well, I was born and raised in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So going to school at Wake Forest, which is about 10, 15 minutes from where I live. So, you know, I didn't go far away for college. But when I decided to play professional basketball and got that opportunity to go all the way overseas in Europe, it was a little challenging, of course. It was a little frightening at first, but, you know, I couldn't speak a word of French, but oui. That was it. I don't know if that's a good word all the time, but once I got there, I kind of, you know, mingled with the, you know, the other team members there, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed they treated me very, very well. I enjoyed the landscape there. I mean, the south of France is beautiful. Mm. You know, it's like Nice, Toulouse, Avignon, and so I was able to also parler, j'ai parlé un petit peu le français.
Alors? Mais oui.
So that was great. I really enjoyed that experience. And Brussels, Belgium, I had to say nothing against the French people. I loved my experience there, but yeah. I liked Belgium a little bit more because Brussels, Belgium is like, it's right in the capital. It's the capital of Europe. Mm. So it sits right in the middle. If you drive 2 or 3 hours, you're in another country. You drive 2 or 3 hours, you're in another country because Brussels is the capital of Europe. So there they actually had to speak three languages. They spoke English. They spoke Flemish, which Flemish is sort of like a German kind of, you know, Ik hoek van jou, that means I love you, in Flemish. And then dankjewel, thank you, uh-huh. in Flemish. And then they also speak French. So they spoke three languages.
Okay, so more international.
More international, yes.
Yeah. So there you are. You're on a professional women's basketball team in Europe again.
Yes.
And then something happened artistically along the way. Talk about that reconnection.
My coach at that time, he had a friend that was also playing professional basketball there, but he also had a band. And his name was Gregory Jones. And he was like, well, Sonya, can you sing? And the subject just came up because I was like, I was kind of fast. I said, hey, man, you got a band? You know, I would like to hear your band play one night. He's like, okay, no problem. He said, well, can you sing? I said, well, I've never tried to sing. I've sang in church choir. And, you know, when I was in school, I was in a lot of choirs like that. And he was like, okay, well, let me hear you sing something. So I started singing. He was like, oh, wow, okay. You got a good voice. He said, okay, you ain't bad looking. You ain't too bad on the eyes. And then he was like, okay, can you dance? I said, I can dance a little bit. So I ended up joining his band. And that's how I got involved in music. So I happened to be recording with Greg in the studio. And a Belgian producer comes in and hears me singing. And he's like, okay, can I work with this artist? And Greg was like, okay, yeah, she's independent. So fine. So I end up recording, working with the Belgian producer, end up signing with this Belgian producer. And the first song that I ever sung, wrote, and co-produced became number one on the dance charts in several European countries.
That's amazing.
And he also licensed out, the producer I work with, my song to several major labels, Sony/BMG in Europe and then EMI/SBK Records in the United States.
Now listen, I'm only gonna say this one time. You got 5 seconds to get that booty on the dance floor. Is that maybe for sure? Listen, boy, there's something I have to say before you turn and walk away. You know the love that we shared.
It was called The Atmosphere That Surrounds Me. And it also gave me the opportunity to also open up for Chaka Khan in Frankfurt, Germany. And
oh my,
I performed in front of the Eiffel Tower as well.
How about that? Now, that's opening for Chaka Khan.
Yes.
Got to go right there. What was it like kicking things off for Chaka?
It was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, when I looked at it, I've never performed in front of so many people in my life at that time. You know, like I said, I had the butterflies, a little jittery, but it was great. It was a great experience.
Is this the 90s?
This was in the 90s. This was in 1990.
So the atmosphere that now surrounds me is full of heartache and pain. The feeling you put me through is full of heartache. The feeling you put me through is full of heartache and pain.
The atmosphere that surrounds me, right around the table, we're talking about 1990.
1990.
Who were some of your influences then?
Oh, back then, Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though she wasn't doing dance but she was still with Sony Music at that time. So
okay.
That gave me the opportunity to perform with a lot of top, you know, artists. Well, Chaka Khan was one of the artists, but also the artists that Sony worked with in different countries, that France, Germany, I also performed with those artists since I had one of the top songs at that time. But back then, believe it or not, I had to say Vanilla Ice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, and also that time was Yaki K. And, you know, Vanilla Ice did Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
And then they had Yaka K, which was Felly at that time. It was called Pump Up the Jam. Why you? So it was more dance house music because that's what style of music that, you know, I was actually recording and working with at that particular time.
Yeah.
So those are some of the artists that influenced me.
Great groove. Now, you co-wrote on that one? How did that?
I did. I wrote the lyrics on that, actually, on my volume one. Most of the songs that I record, I write 90% of my lyrics.
Uh-huh. And is that something that's been an ongoing passion of yours? Is this something that just came from Europe onward?
Well, actually, I'm going to go back to Gregory Jones because I worked with him first, and that's how I got involved in the music business. And he was saying, Sonya K, you need to learn how to write your own lyrics because you have to understand in the music business that it's very important what you create. Because that's where the bulk of the money is, your finance, is in your publishing. So he taught me how to set up my verses, write my lyrics, and, you know, things like that. Gave me the structure. And yeah. so from the structure, the writing just comes from things that I may experience in life, or I have a friend that experienced something, and I put it on paper, and I go from there. Then I get with a producer or musician, and then they put together the music, and we put the music and the lyrics together, and then we create the song. But I love lyrics. I love passion for writing. In fact, my first love was playing the trumpet at sixth grade. And learning how to, you know, read notes and everything. But because I was living at a house with my uncle and aunt that are mentally disabled at that time, special needs, so that was too much noise for them. So that's why I ended up picking up the basketball. But my first love was actually music.
I just love how it comes full circle. I mean, it's such a neat thing.
God is good.
Yeah. What a great reconnection. L-O-V, you wrapped up in M-D. L-O-V, you wrapped up in M-D. L-O-V, you wrapped up in M-D. I've been reminiscing lately, I've been thinking about a love. We're jumping ahead now 17 years, but in 2007, new recording, we're talking about, this is a neo-soul album, Dimensions of Love, Volume 1,
yes.
and A Special Love off of that, really nice mix of styles.
Thank you.
A contemporary-sounding bass line and groove, but you've got some old school, even some scat singing on there, and how did this tune come about?
That tune came about with, I had the opportunity to meet a gentleman actually that worked with Troop. I don't know if everybody remembers the group Troop, but he's originally from L.A., from Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So he's here in United States, when Winston lived with his family, and he's a very talented musician as well. Mm. He's a guitar player.
Okay.
So I started creating the song A Special Love with him, and he started on the mix with me, and then we ended up meeting another producer that I had the opportunity to meet who's also a keyboard player, also an engineer, and his name is Roderick Defect Carter, and he came in, and I had those two producers create the Special Love, and I wrote the lyrics to A Special Love.
Okay.
And actually, A Special Love is one of the popular songs that they're listening to right now in the U.K., that a promoter there by the name of Mike Ashley, who works with Life and Soul Production, said that was his favorite single on the Dimension of Love Volume 1. So I'm excited about getting to England and promoting that.
Nice. You wasn't ready, 'cause an old love had broke your heart. So you said that it would take some time, you would trust another. Well, what were you happiest about with this particular tune, the way the recording went?
The song itself, the groove, the message, that just staying positive, you know, looking at trying to take music in a positive way and just promoting love in a positive way and being classy with it.
And where was this record made?
This was made here in Winston-Salem at House of Fat Productions,
okay,
which is owned by Roderick Defect Carter. And then also a portion of it was recorded with Michael Bryant in his studio, which is Mosca Sound. So the two producers worked together with me too.
What's the experience like? I mean, for say someone wanted to go into this for the first time, and what are your recollections of that?
Sometimes it's some long hours, because you could say, okay, we're going to record for 2 hours, and you end up recording for 4 or 5 hours more. So, and if you love creating, I mean, I love the studio. I love creating beats, melodies, coming up with words, you know, that come together and that flow together in harmony. And it was a great experience. And then when you have the opportunity to work with good people as well, that's very important, too, I think. And you all have like a chemistry. And when that chemistry is there, and then that goodness is there, and we're just all on the same page, and it's about, you know, let's get something out that's going to be the best that it can be, and we're all going to give it 120%.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that being on the same page, for me, for my ears, comes out in Candy. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Great slow groove. Love the finger snaps to kick that off, and but sustaining that intensity over a slow groove like that, what's the key to bringing that out so effectively?
Just the mood, you know. I mean, the mood, just the groove, just focusing on an experience. And I would also like to give credit to, though, I didn't mention this, that I had with my recording sessions, I had three very good back vocalists also that worked with me on several on my Dimensions of Love Volume 1 album.
Great background vocals throughout.
Yeah, they did an awesome job. So I, you know, they did the recording sessions for me, and just very good session artists.
That support,
well.
Just it's got to help you propel through a tune like that. You're like candy. Yeah, the sweetness of your kiss.
got me dreaming about that sweet caress. So let's get
Candy's great one. And then Ladies with Game. And this is a remix?
That is a actually, I have a full-length album called Ladies with Game. Mm-hmm. And it has about 14 tracks on it as well. And it's with all different styles of music, David. The lyrics are the same, but we use house music, R&B. We've got a slow track. So you've got all different styles of music. And in fact, with Ladies with Game, VH1 are using a couple of the sounds of that album on some of their sitcoms as well.
Showing up representing Ladies with Game. Oh, yeah.
And then getting back to what you asked me about, the Ladies with Game Defect Club mix, that's, I told my producer, I said, hey, Rod, you know, we did that back in 2002, so give me something fresh and upbeat. So he said, okay, let's do Ladies with Game Defect Club mix and make it more of the style of what the generation is doing and listening to now.
Did it again. Swish. Oh, Lady Baller's gonna hype it this year. Yeah. On the court, off the court, get respect, nothing less. Put your game to the test. Lady Baller's working the game. Ladies with game, oh yeah. Ladies with game, oh yeah. They be when they be ballin' representin'. They be when they be ballin' representin'.
Was that one of the videos that you sent me?
That is. And in fact, I want to give a thank you to my little Lady Ballers that I had. I wanted to work. I love working with kids because that's actually one of the professions that I had was an ex-school teacher. But so I worked with my five-year-olds and they, you know, were helping me promote women's basketball and giving tribute to women's basketball. So I had seven little five, between 4 and 5 year olds that helped me promote that song. I wanted to make it cute instead of like, okay, all the sweat and, you know, the girls that really ball. I said, let's do it. And that was also my producer's idea as well, Roger Defay. He said, Sonya, let's give them something a little different. Let's make it cute. You know, and let's get the kids in there and show them, you know, doing something and be involved in something positive and seeing positive videos. Because that's actually, Dave, what I like to do. I like to see actually the sports world, also the music world, promoting more positivity, you know, for our today's youth to see.
Well, that really comes out in the A Positive Flow with Charlie Boy. Those lyrics, yes. This song comes with quite a story, and you're singing about things that are clearly important to you.
Yes.
Where does that message come from?
Well, that message comes from actually being a ex-school teacher and coach and having the opportunity to actually work within the school system here in the States. And also, I taught at St. John's International School in Waterloo, Belgium. But when I got back to the States, I just saw how, you know, working with the kids that, you know, music has the ability to influence people, and it can influence you to do negative things. I mean, so we have to be very careful, I think, as songwriters, as producers and promoters, and what type of music we're putting out for our today's youth to listen to.
Why do we say things we really don't mean? Why do we do things to hurt one another? Change your mind, reevaluate your life, and dance your way out of your constrictions. Step up your game and live to see another day.
And I think it needs to be more positive words. You know, if you're going to write about love, let's make it a, you know, positive, not as, you know, just because the kids are listening to the music and what you write and what you produce. So I said, okay, talk to my producer. I said, let's do a song where, a single where we're actually showing our today's youth, showcasing their God-given gifts and talents, which, you know, in this video, you can actually see the kids doing karate, and the drawings that you see in this video are actually drawings that are actually done by these kids at the school. So it's just, you know, it just shows a lot of positivity. There's some kids that are also acting, they're playing basketball, and then you see them shaking hands, and, you know, it's just very, we wanted to promote positivity. So I'd like to thank the kids. A lot of kids from Middle Springs Middle School actually in the community helped me, you know, and the teachers as well worked together to help me make that become a reality. And also I'd like to thank Charlie Boy as well, because I wanted him to also write a rap in Spanish, and also the rap that he said in Spanish to say it in English. So, and actually I met Charlie Boy because I was actually teaching his daughter and son at Middle Springs Middle School.
Hit me out of nowhere.
That's God again.
It was just
divine intervention.
Yeah. It was really nice. The break into Spanish, mm-hmm. it just comes in, but it seems so appropriate somewhere.
Thank
nice. Yeah, great.
Make sure you don't hurt nobody.
Oye lo que digo, mi estilo es muy vivo. Si buscas problemas afuera contigo, si andas paneando, escúchame amigo, te va a ir muy mal. En ese camino, cambia de mente, mejor deja eso. Antes que un tiro te deja muy muerto. Si buscas buscas pandilla, pues anda conmigo. Hay cosas buenas en este camino. We make the world go round and round. Why take a smile and make
one thing that also influenced me back to Gregory Jones again is that he said, son, you need to, as much as you can, stay in control of your career. Because that way, the mistake that you made back in 1990, you had other people that were actually going out, you know, doing your deals for you, and just it wasn't, you had irreconcilable differences. So now, when you're controlling your own business, you know exactly what business deals are being negotiated. You know, nothing can be signed and finalized unless they get your signature, you know. And then the second thing is being able to be creative and to be able to create what you want to create, not what somebody else is telling you. Okay, you got to do this. Okay, I want to write love songs, but you don't want me to write love songs, but that's what I love doing. So it's just the opportunity of being an entrepreneur is that you can kind of call your own shots. And the last but not least is you can be blessed to be a blessing and pay it forward.
Independent recording and performing artist, songwriter Sonia E. Henderson. We've been sampling from her new CD, Dimensions of Love Extra. Sonia is involved with nonprofit organizations that support anti-bullying and those suffering from mental illness. She's begun her own nonprofit called Never Stop Dreaming, Inc., to mentor young people and to help develop their own inherent gifts. You'll find links to Sonia's music, videos, and more at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we'll take a short break now, and then Mary Dalton is back with HBO's hit series Girls, and associate producer Bethany Chafin chats it up with this guy.
Oh, I framed animals before. I framed a raccoon for opening a Christmas present, and I framed a bear for eating out of the garbage.
That's right, Dwight Schrute from The Office. Dwight's really actor Rainn Wilson. Rainn is using his celebrity to engage people on issues of art, philosophy, spirituality, and much more next when Triad Arts Weekend continues.